Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Mad Max Fury Road, you may recall the 2015 movie, is the most insane-looking, fun-to-watch movie, even if, like me, you don't exactly understand what's going on here. There's a car that looks like a porcupine fighting a tanker train truck with flags and spears and guns. There's a crane doing about 70 miles an hour, and a roadster with a tall fenced grill attached to its front is Tom Hardy's character with his face in a metal cage. There's a rolling sound stage with four drummers on the back and a guitar player strapped to the front whose guitar is a flamethrower as they roll through the desert into battle. Who doesn't want to watch that? I've watched that movie more than once and thought, how is it that this got made and how is it that people didn't die making it? And lo and behold, I see this book, Blood, Sweat, and Chrome. And it's written by our guest, Kyle Buchanan. Kyle, you're on WGN Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, John. And really, what movie wouldn't be bettered by a porcupine-shaped car?
I think maybe the most insane fun thing is the flamethrower guitar guy.
That was absolutely the moment where when I saw this film for the first time, my jaw literally dropped, you know? That is a film that is unafraid to just push it, to push things in a direction that other people might think is wacky, but because you're willing to go out on that knife's edge, the whole movie hits a little harder. I mean, it's got the craziest action scenes I've seen probably in just about any movie, and it's astonishing to learn how they were made, but also, you know, how this movie was made. So much went into it, took 20 years to get made. And even when it finally got off the ground, you know, the leads were fighting, the studio was trying to shut it down. Just about everything that could go wrong went wrong, and still, somehow, they made a masterpiece.
And made a masterpiece by a guy named George Miller, who, if you just looked at his IMDb, you wouldn't go, well, he'll make this movie, because he made movies like The Witches of Eastwick and Lorenzo's Oil. And what's the other puffy movie that he made? Good one, but I mean, you wouldn't see it coming, would you?
I mean, before he made Fury Road, the two films he directed were the Happy Feet movies, you know, animated penguin films. I think people are always astonished to hear that the Mad Max guy made the Happy Feet movies, but if you meet him, he's much more the guy you'd expect who made the Happy Feet movies. He's this very kindly guy. He has this sort of grandfather or favorite professor manner. He barely speaks above, you know, a mild Australian lilt. And maybe because of that, you know, people see him on a set like this that's so crazy, and they think to themselves, does this guy really have what it takes to get this movie over the line and to have people connect with it? You know, he hadn't even made a live action film in a long time when he signed on to make this movie.
And while he was making this movie, he was making another movie too, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he was making Happy Feet too at the same time. It's kind of a wild thing where I think because he seems so sort of, you know, he's not this fire breathing director like James Cameron, who made Titanic, or Michael Bay. You know, he seems like the kind of guy you can push around. And many people have tried to. And what they find is this man has a spine of steel. He does not back down. He does not quit. I mean, you have to. That's the only way that you can have this movie where for 20 years people were saying, no, you can't make it. No, you can't do it. No, we'll shut it down. And still he had the confidence to see it through.
Okay, I'm going to not let you go longer than 25 seconds on the answer to this question, and you can probably do this. No, not that your answers have been long, but here's the point. What's the movie about?
It's deceptively simple. It's a chase sequence, you know. Max and Furiosa, Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron, are escaping through the desert. They're being pursued by a warlord who wants the hostages that they've smuggled out. But there's so much under the surface. The more you unpack this film, the more the themes jump out at you.
That's the thing that surprised me. It's this post-apocalyptic world. Gas and water are valued, and it's a chase. The movie, if you just ask me, it's this really fun chase scene. But as I've read the book and heard other interviews you've given, there's a lot more going on there than maybe I appreciated. I don't have to appreciate all the subtext, though, do I?
No, I always kind of liken it to a song. You know, the first time you hear a song, you're just letting it wash over you. The next few times, maybe you're paying more attention to the lyrics. And then if you really love it, you want to know who made it, how they made it, and the love that went into making it.
But this movie didn't have a script, as I understand it. Well, as you tell, Miller had created 3,500, is that the right number, storyboards. And they were scene by scene. It goes, we'll do this, then we'll do this. And I don't know how the actors felt about that, but it was like, some of the scenes that he would shoot, he needs to capture a storyboard, are 3 seconds long. And he says, good, got it. And they go, got what? And he goes, next storyboard, we'll film that. Something like that, right?
Yeah, the actors didn't feel great about it, you know? They're usually used to getting a scene up on its feet and doing, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, and it's shot from a bunch of angles. George Miller knew down to the millisecond what shots he would need, how they'd be stitched together. So first, someone like Charlize, he'd just say, turn your head and put your hand on the steering wheel. She doesn't necessarily know what that moment is even connected to. So that could be frustrating for a lot of actors who didn't quite know their place in the story he was telling.
And you also say that she's the sort of person that if they said, be out of the trailer and on the set at noon, she's there at noon. Tom Hardy is the opposite. And sometimes he would stroll out of the trailer 2 hours later. It got to the point where his obnoxiousness really began to compromise, if not the movie, at least his relationship with the cast and crew. And it got to the point where she wanted security around him, right?
They're both very talented actors with very different approaches. That caused a lot of conflict. This was not an easy movie to make, so I think they took out some of that anxiety on each other. And like you said, it all came to a head one day where Tom showed up, not just 2 hours late, but 3 hours late after Charlize was sitting in that car waiting and waiting and waiting. They left out. There was a war of words. It got very contentious. But, you know, now with the benefit of perspective, I think they both look back on that scenario and they both say, we were scared. We didn't know what we were doing. And we hope we would treat that with a little more maturity now.
They were in Namibia, right?
That's right, yeah. Not some Hollywood soundstage with green screen. They went out there, and they did it for real. They really rode those cars in the desert.
Okay, and they were out there for a better part of a year. Imagine her sitting in the desert for 3 hours waiting for this guy to show up. But let's leave that part of the story for a moment. In these fantastic chase scenes, you see explosions and rockets being fired, spears being thrown. You see guys on what look like giant pole vaulting poles springing from one vehicle to another. How much of that actually happened?
Almost all of it. And I think that's why it feels so visceral. You know, when we watch a Fast and Furious movie or we see Spider-Man swing through the air, I think our brains know we're looking at pixels. I mean, we're still entertained, but we're not thinking that that really happened. The physics don't feel right. All the things that would happen for real aren't captured. It's too controlled. It's too fussy, too plastic. And, you know, that's what they wanted to go do in the desert. They wanted to shoot absolutely every element for real. If those cars crashed, if those explosions happened, if those spears got thrown, all of that really happened.
So when two vehicles are
speeding, when you watch.
You do. And this is fantastic what you're saying, because when you watch this, some people are going from vehicle to vehicle, and maybe they've sped up the film, but it looks like these things are moving pretty fast through the desert as people are jumping back and forth and springing back and forth from these things. It's amazing that the studio would allow it, or that the people would agree to do it.
Well, and in both cases, they barely did. You know, the studio often changed their mind about allowing it. And the people who were involved with it were like, wait, you want me to do what? What's happening? But sometimes you need that director who's willing to push the envelope. That's how you get great art, when someone is willing to be a little more daring than other movies have traditionally let themselves be.
There's just so many bizarre things about this. And that sort of fearlessness, I think, even is evident at the outset when the producer, they said, we don't want you shooting in Africa. And he didn't tell them that he had just put 120 custom-made vehicles for the production on a container ship that he rented for $2 million to ship over there. And those vehicles, I don't know if any of them still exist, but I want one of them. Those things are amazing.
Yeah. The producer told the studio, but after the ship had left the shore, you know, that is one of those ballsy old Hollywood producer moves where you just got to roll with it. If you are getting into bed with these people and you're going to make that movie, there's no point dragging your feet. You got to commit to it, you know, and I think Hollywood executives were not ready for that. I think, honestly, a lot of Hollywood movie stars were not ready for it. This was not going to be a walk in the park. Never was, and that's just how he operates.
10 Academy Award nominations, including Best Picture and Director, and one for six, mostly on the technical side, editing, costumes, sound effects, stuff like that. But if you are thinking, okay, I want to go back and just watch something fun that'll take my mind off a pandemic or whatever, you could do worse than Mad Max Fury Road. And by the way, you should read this book. It's really conversational. It's an oral history, if you will, of the making of the movie. And it's just really, really fun, Kyle. Nice job on the book.
Well, thank you so much, John. I'm glad you liked it.
Kyle Buchanan is the author of Blood, Sweat, and Chrome.